You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Go check out my Decider column, the start sits of the week there, looking at the plays that you have to exploit this week with the matchups and ones you want to avoid, and then also looking at some DFS targets. That's what we're going to do here on Lineup Friday. We're here at Week 2. We have our second Thursday night game in the books. Giants and Washington provided some more fantasy football fireworks than we expected, but we'll take it. So we'll take a brief look at that game, the takeaways you need to know from Daniel Jones and Taylor Heinicke having a classic passing duel there to open the week. So good stuff there that we saw, and maybe the Giants and Washington are going to be a little bit more explosive than we think. So we'll get into that game. Then we'll turn our attention to the quarterbacks that I feel like are priced well for best return on investment all across the board there on DraftKings and FanDuel. We'll do that with running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends as well. Then we'll close the show with the injury updates you need to know from what we know from the two practice reports. We'll have the designations there come out later on Friday, but just a little bit of a gut feel on what we know from what's happened so far in the week. So good way to wrap up the week here, Lineup Friday. Let's dive into it here in a moment, but I do have to remind you that the Locked On NFL Draft podcast relaunches September 20 with the brand new host Eric Crocker brings the player scouting, Ryan Tracy brings the analytics. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's dive in here to Locked On Fantasy Football. Giants, Washington. Let's start with Giants. Saquon Barkley is still not right. He did have that long 40-yard-plus run early in the game, but not much else to show for. Daniel Jones, second straight week, looked like the Giants' best runner. Nearly 100 yards here and a touchdown. Scored in the second straight week here. He scored against Denver. Looked very comfortable. The pass protection overachieved. They had some injuries, too. Nick Gates, the center, had a gruesome injury that reshuffled some other things. Nate Solder still not looking great out there. But they really protected him well. He had some time to throw. Sterling Shepard looks clearly like his go-to guy. Almost 100 yards for him when receiving. They could have done without that one negative backwards rush here. But solid game for Shepard. Didn't get in the end zone. But two great fantasy weeks for him as a wide receiver too. They're performing. So Jones, Shepard locked in. Darius Slayton. So much for Kenny Golladay getting going quite yet. That connection a little bit off. The hamstring injury slowed down Golladay in the preseason. Didn't get as many reps with Daniel Jones. So what you're seeing now is the connection with Darius Slayton reheat. So they said on the broadcast, if you're watching there, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, where he wanted to go to Golladay and get the big play touchdown, but it went to Darius Slayton instead. So Slayton's not completely going anywhere, but do I trust Slayton versus Golladay? Clearly not to Kadarius Toney, the rookie first-round pick from Florida. He's not getting involved as much. No, it's Sterling Shepard pretty much in the passing game that Daniel Jones is going to look to all over the field. He's a slot guy, can get open. Interesting development with the coverage there. You saw Kendall Fuller of Washington football team. Sometimes he was outside there with Golladay, and then William Jackson sometimes got Shepard. So it was a big mix of coverage there. They also had Benjamin St. Juste, who they targeted a lot, a rookie corner for Washington. So a lot of interesting ways that the Giants use the receivers. But Sterling Shepard, they are scheming him open, and Daniel Jones trusts him the most. So Jones has some nice value if he's going to continue to use his legs at a high level. I think at some point they'll trust Barkley. They do get Atlanta coming up around the corner here. So big potential for all the offensive principals here. Get well game for Barkley, Golladay, and the rest. But right now, it's the Daniel Jones, Sterling Shepard show going there. Now, Washington, Taylor Heinicke, we said he was going to be a pretty good facilitator. He goes to 330-plus yards here, has a couple scores. Unfortunately, the biggest concern here was Antonio Gibson. He looked really good, but there came J.D. McKissic. They used him a lot in the pass game. He had the big play down the sidelines that set up a touchdown. He had a hurry-up before the half. Rushing touchdown here, pilfering it from Gibson. So, game one, we hardly saw McKissic because The game script didn't call for McKissick. It was a bit of a battle of attrition there. But they realized without Curtis Samuel, they needed to get more people involved behind Terry McLaurin. And McLaurin opens things up. We saw it to some degree for Logan Thomas. Unfortunately there, Ricky Seals-Jones stole the touchdown that probably should have been Logan Thomas's. So a couple of vulturing there. McKissick on Gibson, Seals-Jones on Thomas here. But McKissick, again, making up for that Curtis Samuel role. They like those type of players. Scott Turner. So Gibson, they've sold that he's going to be Christian McCaffrey. Well, they take him out in some passing situations. So that's a little concerning. Jared Patterson, I think, is the early down better backup, the rookie there from Buffalo who made the team. But McKissick's going to be around as long as Samuel's out, which will be for a little while longer. But when Samuel comes back in, that's going to hurt McKissick's value. You also saw a little bit more usage from Adam Humphrey. So just trying to build off Terry McLaurin dominating. What can you say about Scary Terry? F1, he was on fire there for the Washington football team. He really has gotten revved up ever since Taylor Heineke came in. Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't really feed him the ball much against the Chargers. But since that second half, Terry McLaurin's been all over the place and the clear go-to guy. So Heineke's going to mean a lot of good things for Terry McLaurin. I think it eventually means some good things for Curtis Samuel and Antonio Gibson and Logan Thomas. But just unfortunate with it, the way things played out, that the starters there at the running back and tight end couldn't finish and get the scores as well in that game. So congratulations, however, to Washington getting their first win. What a wild game. They're 30-29. Needed two field goal chances by Dustin Hopkins. So a lot of kicking going on there between Graham Gano, who's just on fire here, kicker that should be in all leagues, and Dustin Hopkins as well. So kicker's duel, pitchers and passers duel, not much of a running duel in that game on Thursday night. All right, let's turn our attention to DFS here and look at quarterbacks for this week. This is for the weekend. So can we get some performances from these guys that are similar to Jones and Heineke? We'll see. Tom Brady, I feel really strong about this week. I think he's going to have a very high floor. So cash games, Tom Brady is the way to go all the time if we're going to pay up a quarterback. 6,900 on DraftKings, 8,200 on FanDuel. So the prices are being adjusted accordingly. You realize he could have another big season where it could be between 40 to 50 touchdowns here for Tom Brady. I don't think it would surprise anyone with all the weapons he has. So again, he's not going to give you anything running, but he can get the job done passing. This team is also going to struggle to run a bit, and I don't think they're going to worry about running until the second half, until they have a big lead. That did not materialize against the Cowboys because they went back and forth all the way till the end where they needed a game-winning drive to score on a field goal. So I think the game script, 11.5-point favorites here. The Buccaneers are, that line could be going more in their favor, but it's going to be double digits no matter what here. Tom Brady, there's every matchup he likes this week. So Brady, and definitely you'll think about stacking him with some of his guys in this passing game. Another guy that I really like, Justin Herbert. Herbert does struggle a bit. He was way down in the QB2s last week, but Justin Herbert will bounce back. He had a very good second half there, went and got the yardage he needed, got the scores there. Mike Williams looked good. You have Keenan Allen, Jared Cook. You got Austin Eckler, 6,700, 7,600. You also have the Cowboys defense minus DeMarcus Lawrence. So those are the prices, 6,700, 7,600 on DraftKings and FanDuel, respectively, for Herbert. Yes, you want as many shares of Herbert as you can this week. A little bit cheaper than Brady. You'll save $2,000 on DraftKings, $6,000. Really good savings on FanDuel. So I might lean Brady more on DK and lean more Herbert on FD if I'm going to invest highly in a quarterback. Now, two quarterbacks I like on the lower end this week, a little bit cheaper. $6,000 Baker Mayfield, so save up $700 more there on DraftKings, $7,100 on FanDuel. Baker Mayfield, 321 passing yards last week. Didn't get a touchdown. It was very bizarre. You had Nick Chubb have a couple scores. Jarvis Landry scored on the ground. Kareem Hunt. So this team still scored four times. But Mayfield, even with a 300-yard game. So it was like the opposite of Jameis Winston, where they only threw 20 times and he had four touchdowns. Here they threw a lot. Didn't get it. So I think it'll meet a happy medium here in this Texans matchup at home. Mayfield is the best play action, throwing the big plays downfield. He seemed very comfortable even without Odell Beckham Jr. out there because he's using his tight ends, diverse receiving core without OBJ. So I like Mayfield at home to light up the Texans here. And this game could be a little higher scoring than we think. So Mayfield liked that price point a lot. Now, people are soured on Matt Ryan. Here's the problem with Matt Ryan. Every time you think he's reliable, something happens. And then every time you think he's totally gone, then he comes through. So this seems like a rebound week for Matt Ryan here. And look, they're going to be way behind. And we know that did materialize against the Eagles last week, but they were just trying stuff. They were trying to run too much there with Arthur Smith. They've got to let Matt Ryan throw to Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. They got great matchups this week. The Bucs are banged up at safety. At cornerback, we know they're a little bit thin there. So Calvin Ridley, they can move around. They can also use their two tight end personnel and split that with their 11 personnel. So there's going to be garbage time to have for Matt Ryan in this game. He'll come through a little bit more. I just didn't understand the game plan last week where they still thought they were in the game, forcing in Mike Davis, Cordarrelle Patterson. They're not going to be able to run at all on the Bucs. So Ryan will probably throw the ball 50 times in this game, and you can expect to get 350 and 2. I'm going to be modest with those numbers, but the volume is going to be there. Sometimes you look for volume and garbage time, and Matt Ryan circled him this week. He also has played pretty well against Todd Bowles' defense in Tampa. Two very solid fantasy starts against Tom Brady last year. All right, that takes care of the Giants-Washington review, recap, takeaways, as well as our quarterbacks we want to target at different price points on DFS. We'll get to running back, wide receiver, and tight end in our next segment there and close with the injury updates you need to know. But again, I have to remind you about Built Bar. Celebrate freedom of choice with Built Bar. Do you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. Talk to a Built Bar fan like me. I'm passionate about my favorites. I've talked about all the chocolate ones, double chocolate, mint brownie. There's also a German chocolate one that's great. So a protein bar that tastes like a dessert. The only way you can find out about the Built Bar flavors, you got to check them out here. Coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and that German chocolate flavor I talked about. The only way to find out about your favorite flavor is to get a mix box where you can get two each of 9 flavors. Built Bar flavors are the best tasting, but they're healthy for you too. 17 to 18 grams protein, 130 to 180 calories, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, that's awesome, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Always look out for that special flavor that they're always putting out. They recently had a grasshopper cookie, tasted a lot like a thin mint. So always special bars at Built Bar, whatever flavor you choose. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, so that's great. You're supporting our nation's best athletes. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, let's continue looking at the running backs in DFS, and I really have 4 targets this week that I'm going after if I'm really going to stack my lineup. There's 2 that I like to look at, but you could go at the extremes here when I'm looking at running back, or you could go right down the middle in the 2 guys I have there. So let's get to them. Nick Chubb, 7,800 there on DraftKings, 8,400 on FanDuel. If you want to pay up for someone, it's Nick Chubb. Big game against the Chiefs last week. I mentioned Baker Mayfield. I think they all can go off against the Texans. So remember, Chubb and Mayfield have a harmonious relationship. When Chubb in the running game is going, Mayfield in the passing game is going to get going as well. So good stuff all around. Mayfield, Chubb, I'm going to pay up for Chubb if I need to. The other guy that's kind of sneaky at 7,200, and that's the same price in both sites, Jonathan Taylor. Very productive last week for the Colts. Didn't get in the end zone. We know the Rams are a little bit vulnerable against the run. They allowed David Montgomery to score last week. This Colts offensive line, we'll get after it here and help them. They got to run against the Rams. They can't really put it up with Carson Wentz and face Aaron Donald in that pass rush. So John Taylor, leading receiver last week for the Colts. He's going to be involved a lot at home against the Rams. Rams just vulnerable enough in run defense, pretty good in pass defense. Where Taylor, run-heavy team already with the Colts. Run-heavy, throwing to him quite a bit. They're going to lean on him even more this week with high volume. So I'm looking at 25 touches plus here for Taylor, and he's going to come through with that volume with his talent in a better-than-you-think matchup at home. Chris Carson is at 6,100, so getting into the bargain basements here. 6,100 for Chris Carson, 67 on FanDuel. So pretty good value there for Chris Carson. No Rashad Penny. We'll see if they work in DJ Dallas and these other backs in the mix behind him. But I figure the Seahawks are going to jump on the Titans, have a lead here. Titans were not bad against Chase Edmonds, but Edmonds still had a pretty solid fantasy day. So usually an RB2 that you get from Carson, but I think he's an RB1 this week with no concern here about Penny stealing key touches for them. So at home, they usually run it pretty effectively. I know it's a different style of offense, but I see the Seahawks winning this game and dominating the Titans, and Carson should have plenty of volume here for sure. All right, the next player I look at, this is super cheap. Get in on Melvin Gordon while you can. 5,900 only on DraftKings and FanDuel. He's the man right now. Javonte Williams, we're waiting for him, but Great matchup against the Jaguars this week. Came through big time against the Giants and long touchdown run. So MG3 with a lot of power here for the Broncos, and I like the situation a lot this week. So game script, matchup, everything lines up for Melvin Gordon to stay hot here in week number 2. All right, let's pivot to wide receiver, and this is bounce back wide receiver time. For most of these are guys that didn't have great week ones that I think are going to explode this week. DK Metcalf did have a pretty good week one. He did find the end zone, but if we're going to pay up here with Russell Wilson, 7,600 there on DraftKings. Notable, he's down to 7,000 on FanDuel. So Metcalf, really good value on FanDuel in relation to what he can do. And this Tennessee Young secondary really stinks. So we saw what DeAndre Hopkins, the number one, did for the Cardinals last week. Metcalf is going to be the guy over Tyler Lockett this week to have that big, big game. So GPP or cash games, really like Metcalf this week. 7,500 and 7,700, those are the prices for Calvin Ridley. I think he has a big bounce back game. He can attach into Matt Ryan. The Bucs did have a lot of trouble covering him last year. They'll move him around. They got to use him a lot more effectively. So Calvin Ridley bounces back. Keenan Allen was pretty solid last week, solid almost every week. 7,000, 7,400 are his prices. We need him. I really like Jarvis Landry. So yet another piece of this Browns offense, 6,300 to 6,800. Those are his prices there on DraftKings and FanDuel. So yeah, higher end Metcalf and Ridley. Allen in that solid range if you want to invest in him highest as a wide receiver one. Then you have Jarvis Landry here at 63 and 68. He's going to be busy. No Odell Beckham Jr. in that game. He scored last week. He's going to be involved in the passing game. Texans can't cover anything. They really struggled in the slot with Marvin Jones Jr. and some of the things that the Jaguars were deploying. So Jarvis Landry's in a great position. Inside-outside versatility. I love that price this week. And really, I might stick to this middle price. If I'm not going big with Metcalf and Ridley, to go a little bit different. So Landry stays hot along with Allen. Allen Robinson is his name. 6,200 on DraftKings, 7,200 on FanDuel. That's the guy I'm going with there. He's going to rebound. The Bengals secondary really did not play well. Robinson's kind of like an Adam Thielen with his route running prowess, a little bit of Justin Jefferson in him as well. So Allen Robinson, a good revenge game here for Andy Dalton. Robinson gets on track. No Jalen Ramsey in that Rams secondary. So love the prices there, 6,200 and 7,200. Another bounce back guy we look at is Mike Evans. Now, there's no scary cornerback matchup for the Falcons. 6,100, you can get Mike Evans on DraftKings, 67 on FanDuel. It's a Mike Evans game. We had a Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski. He needs to get in the fun. I think Antonio Brown, Godwin, and Gronkowski will also be fine in this game, but I think Evans will be the guy with his catch radius. Can rack up the touchdowns for Tom Brady. It's one of those games, I think, for Magic Mike. Robert Woods, another one, 5,700 only on DraftKings, 67 on 6,500 on FanDuel. I like Robert Woods a lot. No Xavier Rhodes probably again for the Colts. And again, it was Cooper Kupp's turn, and they exploded with the big play to Van Jefferson. But I think this week it's Robert Woods lighting up methodically the Colts' bend-don't-break defense this week. And you look at Chase Claypool, pretty decent usage there. He was involved as a rusher again for the Steelers in that game against the Bills, but This could be that Chase Claypool game where the multiple touchdowns stretch the field. They're playing the Raiders here. Raiders don't have anyone to cover Chase Claypool. So 5,600, 5,900. They also struggled downfield against Marquise Brown and Sammy Watkins there, that secondary. So really like Claypool this week to be a very high return on investment at 56 and 5,900. At tight end, Kyle Pitts is the bounce back guy. We tied it to Matt Ryan, tied it to Calvin Ridley. 5,200. Only for Kyle Pitts, that's pretty low that he should be higher, but 5,500 on FanDuel there versus DraftKings, so I like him a little bit better on FanDuel. I really like Rob Gronkowski on DraftKings, 4,700 versus 5,800 on FanDuel. Gronk is going to keep it going, and this Bucs offense just could light it up. I would not be surprised if they score more than 40 points in this game and maybe 5 to 6 touchdowns, giving a lot of opportunity for the principals to score, and Gronk stays in. So much for writing off Gronk. Clearly, O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate not doing anything to cut into much of what they do at tight end. And they're throwing a lot. That means there's room for all three wide receivers and Gronk. Tyler Higbee I like this week. 4,100 on DraftKings, 5,600 on FanDuel. Good prices for Higbee. We saw Will Disley and one Gerald Everett, Higbee's former teammate. Similar offense of the Seahawks produce. Higbee got all the snaps against the Bears, so that's good. So he can dominate that position alone. So will this be like that Eagles game he had last year? Potentially. So Tyler Higbee I like a lot at those price points. Jared Cook, yet another way to attach yourself to the Chargers passing game, and Justin Herbert. The Cowboys' two safeties are banged up as well, Donovan Wilson and DeMonte Kazee, on top of DeMarcus Lawrence being out. So that should open up the middle of the field for Jared Cook. He's very productive last week. So pretty much the triplets extending to Austin Eckler, but you have Allen and Williams and Cook are the main guys for Justin Herbert. 3,900 only for Cook on DraftKings, 5,400 on FanDuel. David Njoku, without Odell Beckham Jr., they got Anthony Schwartz, who's a bit banged up for the Browns. He's a guy that can stretch the field there and help them do that down the seam. Very good opener against the Chiefs. 3,600 on DraftKings, 4,800 on FanDuel. Much rather take a chance on David Njoku than try to play Austin Hooper and try to extract some value from him. All right, that takes care of your quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. So for DraftKings and FanDuel, target players that you want to put in your lineups as much as possible this week in a variety of ways. We will get to our injury updates in our last segment. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron. Our teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action of the season. With the updated new site interface, you got to check it out. I love it there at betonline.ag. Even more odds, props, and contests are available. Continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right down to your Vegas casino games of choice, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Use the promo code LOCKEDON there to take advantage, or NFL100, where you can get that 100% welcome bonus. So a lot of good stuff there at BetOnline. Check them out now. All right, time to run through the injury updates here. We got through our stuff on DFS, and we broke down TNFs. So that's the last thing, order business, we have here on Locked On Fantasy Football Lineup Friday. It's also our last segment of the week. So let's break it down. Let's start at quarterback here. Joe Burrow looked very good at the knee injury. He's a little bit in practice, went full, though. He's fine here. Deshaun Watson not starting again. We know that. Tyrod Taylor in a revenge game against the Browns. Raiders used Marcus Mariota in a wrinkle play last week. He's not practicing this week, so it's probably going to be all Derek Carr in a tough matchup against the Steelers. Speaking of the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger good to go, just being rested here and managed with the load early in the week. We'll play. Now let's look at the running backs here, and look at DeAndre Swift. He's had the growing issue. He played through it, played well against the 49ers in week one. Week two, they get the Packers on the road. DeAndre Swift can do some damage. Remember the combination of Alvin Kamara and Tony Jones Jr. had success. Why I say that, Jamal Williams is battling a bit of chest injury. Revenge game for the former Packer. They'll be out there. Again, this offense is going to flow pretty much through TJ Hawkinson and these two running backs, so good opportunity there. That's the only way I think the Lions can stay in the game. Josh Jacobs dealing with a toe and ankle issue, missed two practices, could be being maintained after playing on Monday Night Football, and he had an injury going in that and an illness, so maybe they're just doing that. But I'm not interested in Jacobs or his cohort, Kenyon Drake, against the Steelers this week anyway, so player to avoid. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, RB2 appealed certainly against the Ravens. Ravens' run defense is pretty good, but Edwards-Helaire is sticking with him. He's going to play through the ankle. Miles Sanders has an ankle issue, but he's fine. He's going to play against the 49ers. He's been practicing in full. Rashad Penny not going to be out there for the Seahawks. That's why we like the bump up for Chris Carson. Now, there is a little bit of concern at wide receiver with Marquise Hollywood Brown. He's missed a couple practices with an ankle injury. We don't know if it's a Jacobs situation. We're coming off Monday night. They're just being careful with his reps and all that. We'll have to watch that here in the final injury reports. If not, that really opens the door up for Mark Andrews to have a big game here with Rashad Bateman and some of the other receivers on the shelf as well for the Ravens. So keep that in mind. DFS target there, Mark Andrews, if you're playing that night game slate. Emmanuel Sanders just has foot injury. He's going to be fine. But Gabriel Davis, we were worried about him with the ankle injury. He's going to play for the Bills here. Darnell Mooney playing through a back injury. Let's hope he gets a little bit more help from his quarterback, Andy Dalton, this week. Maybe we'll see his change. Marquise Goodwin, by the way, is working as the number three receiver. He's good to go for the Bears with a quad injury. Odell Beckham Jr., we're told he's out with his knee injury. Anthony Schwartz has been limited as well with the knee. So they could lean a lot more on Landry and Njoku to get the field stretch if Schwartz also has to miss the game. Detroit, you go there. Tyrell Williams has a concussion, so probably going to miss the game here with the Packers. It's a short time to be cleared here, so Again, look elsewhere for your targets. Maybe this opens the door for Amon-Ra St. Brown, the rookie, to do some damage. Tyreek Hill has a toe injury, but he's fine. It's not turf toe or anything. He's practicing in full. Brian Edwards has an elbow injury for the Raiders. He'll be there for the Steelers. Will Fuller will return from his injury here from a suspension, all that stuff this week to make his debut. But tough matchup against the Bills. Secondary really played well. Devontae Parker has a shoulder issue. Preston Williams a foot. They will play also. But again, tough matchup to trust any Dolphins wide receiver in that. Nelson Agholor, ankle injury. We were worried about it last week. He ended up being the Patriots' leading receiver. So he's okay for the Jets. Great matchup there. Jamison Crowder off the COVID list on his way to be back this week for the Jets with a groin injury on the other side of the game. So we'll see. But Elijah Moore, truthers, might have to wait a little bit if Crowder plays. Keelan Cole, knee injury, he's going to play. Juju Smith-Schuster being rested. The Seahawks will be down probably one receiver this week. Dee Eskridge, their rookie, is got a concussion. So a lot of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, as usual, and the tight ends getting worked in. Eskridge was a wrinkle player last week, so that also helps Chris Carson, where one less guy to maybe give a carry to. In week two, Antonio Brown, playing the knee, played awesome last week. He's good to go. A.J. Brown also has a knee issue, but he's being managed. He's fine to go with that. Josh Reynolds on his track to return here with a foot injury. Not interested in fantasy, but they are playing the Seahawks this week. Finally, we turn to tight end Noah Fant. Knee issue, but he played well through it against the Giants. It's going to happen against the Jaguars. Good smash spot there. Adam Shaheen, why it's notable, has a knee injury, full for the Dolphins, because him and Durham Smythe are playing quite a bit at the expense of Mike Gesicki, so that's development you have to track there. Jonah Smith has a hip injury, popped up on the injury report midweek there. We'll see if he plays. We're not sure, 100% sure with the Patriots, but if he does play, like the matchup. If he doesn't play, really going on Hunter Henry here against the Jets this week. Zach Ertz has a hamstring, but he's good to go here. Rested, being managed. He's still way behind Dallas Goedert, not going to play him against the 49ers. Eric Ebron popped up with a hamstring and didn't practice here, so that could open the door for Pat Freiermuth. Am I going to start Freiermuth right away? Only made one big play against the Bills. We'll see. But we'll look at the wide receivers stepping up here with Ebron potentially on the shelf here with hamstring. It's a hard thing to turn around in the middle of the week. Anthony Firkser has had a knee injury for the Titans. He's working through it. Probably will play, but nothing to see there in fantasy football relevance. And finally, one kicker note. You're probably not using him, but Quinn Nordin, he's the kicker for the Patriots. Abdomen issue. He might have to miss the game against the Jets, so we'll watch that. But kickers are people too, as we saw with Gonneau and Hopkins having big games on Thursday night. All right, so there you have it. Your TNF breakdown, your DFS advice, and your injury updates here going into Sunday and Monday's games. I do also have to remind you about another great podcast here on the network. It is Locked On Bets. Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to your Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Locked On Today. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. This has been another edition of Locked On Fantasy Football. This is your host, Vinny Iyer. Good luck in all your games this weekend. Go win. Go win a lot of money. Go beat your best friends. And we'll see you on the flip side for Roundup Monday, week two. See you next time. Have a great weekend.